I am delighted to be here. And isn't it something when these two are back? It's like the sun is shining. And thank you for the way you pastor this flock and me as well. Can't wait for next Monday when we get to go to your house and celebrate many things. I'm so glad that joy is the theme. I didn't exactly know that, but I am excited that that's what you get out of what we're saying. But I'm actually going to be preaching on faith, which brings joy. And it's really something. I have taken a year, just as a couple years ago we looked at the goodness of God, we have been looking at faith this last year. How many of you weren't here a few weeks ago when I shared? You were all here? Okay. Okay. I just want you to know that the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And it also says fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If you believe that, it changes everything. It changes everything because you understand that what makes Christianity so unique is this relationship that produces faith, this relationship with Jesus Christ. He is not incidental to Christianity. He is Christianity. He is absolutely Christianity. Now, I'm not preaching from any notes, just a Bible, just an open Bible. And you know, when you're 71 years old, that can lead to all kinds of problems. But I do want you to know this so that you'll know that what I share today comes from my heart, because I believe the heart is so central to Christianity. It's so important that we learn that everything God has for us, everything Christ has done in his victory, has been done so that his followers will not be following by guilt or manipulation, but wholeheartedly, absolutely wholeheartedly. That's the joy. The most amazing thing about being 71 is that I believe that more than ever. So does my wife, who is sick today, by the way. She wishes she could be here. But what I want to do today is just we looked at two aspects of what living faith is a couple weeks ago, and we're going to basically concentrate on the fourth one. So I'm just going to repeat the first three, and you may feel like there's a whirlwind going here, but trust me, okay? When we talk about faith, what is it? I want to just share with you four truths about faith, all from the book of Colossians. I have read the book of Colossians every day. It's been amazing to take a year and just look at one book of the Bible until it almost lives. It almost lives in you. It's such a wonderful book. You know why Colossians? Because Colossians in 1:18 says, he, Jesus, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the preeminence. In everything he may have the supremacy. And with that in mind, I challenge you to read Colossians over and over and over again. It's such a good book. But it's also about faith. It says in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Wow, that's how it all begins. We are so thankful for you because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, let me just share with you four truths about that faith, okay? The first one is that faith is different from belief. Faith and belief are not the same thing. Belief has to do with facts that create knowledge from the mind. And faith has to do with trust that comes from the heart, that is implanted in the heart. And that idea of faith is trust. We even called it ruthless trust. Just to give you a word or two about this first point about that faith is different from belief, here's what chapter 2 says in verse 5. It says, we are delighted how orderly you are, how your lives are working, and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you've received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflow with thanksgiving. That's what faith does. See to it that no one takes you captive through deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions, basic principles of the world, rather than on Christ. What a difference. And all I want to say is this, is that belief has to do with knowledge. You can have belief in your bathroom all alone. You never have to see another human being at all. But whenever faith is the subject, it has to do with trust, which always means relationships are involved. Whoever you trust is a human being. Now, let me tell you, we celebrated our 50th anniversary. How would you like to be married to the same woman for 50 years? Now, here's what you need to know. Carol is remarkably woman and complex and not male like me. So this is what it means. After living with her for 50 years, I can tell you that I love her dearly, but I don't always agree with my wife. I'll tell you something else. I don't always understand my wife, but I always trust her. I always trust her. And bless her for being that kind of a faithful, wholehearted, good person. I trust her perfectly that she is doing what her heart is telling her to do. And it's an amazing thing to be able to say you trust your wife, you trust your husband, you trust your parents. But the most amazing thing about Christianity is Jesus Christ is so absolutely wonderful, so totally good, so perfectly good, always doing what's good for you, working all things together for good, that you can trust him. You can have faith in him that comes from your heart and spurs your heart to action. So faith is belief in action. Okay, the second thing that we said a couple weeks ago, we didn't get any further than that, I don't think, is that faith enters into Christ's victory. Faith is always entering into Christ's victory. Now, this is why this is so important, because every day, life is hard. Every day, terrible things are happening. This is a fallen world. You can't imagine all the horror that is taking place today at this moment. And Christians are not immune to this. But what we do that's so important is we choose by faith to enter into Christ's victory. And there are so many verses that talk about that. It says in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says that we are raised with him through our faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. This is really something, how we choose by faith to enter into his victory. I mentioned three kinds of victory, three aspects of that victory. I'm not brave enough to say, tell me what they are, because I know you always forget what the preacher says. But we talked about three aspects. One is his resurrection. This book is always, this book of Colossians is always talking about his resurrection. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and so on and so forth. Here's what's so amazing. This idea of resurrection will absolutely transform your response to bad days. If you have any bad days, anybody have any recently? Well, shame on you. You should be having bad days every once in a while. The reason that bad days are so important is they prove to you how real your faith is. They prove to you that when you can, in the midst of bad news, get down on your knees and say, thank you, Lord, you haven't changed one iota, nor has your unfailing love to me diminished at all. I worship you. You will use this for good in my life. So the idea of resurrection absolutely changed the first century church, where they didn't have any good days. Naturally speaking, they were all poor and slaves and mistreated, 10 great persecutions. But that didn't change their idea. He's alive, and I participate in his risenness. And all of the junk that happens to me is an opportunity to see him bring life out of death over and over and over again. I promise you, as an old man, that is true. Everybody say amen. The second victory, not only his resurrection, but his mystery. His mystery. Mystery is one of the great themes of the book of Colossians. That idea is in chapter 1, it's in chapter 2, it's in chapter 3, as we talked about. But here's what it says in chapter 1, verse 27. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the most amazing thing. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we shout, he's risen, he's risen, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And they gossiped it all over the ancient world. That was the great theme. Even more important than he died for our sins. The book of Acts is just full of his risenness. His risenness. And here's what's so interesting. The second aspect of Christ's victory is the mystery of how this risenness is now present within us by the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is inside of us. He lives in us. I take him everywhere. I take him everywhere. And so not only is he living, he's living in me. Holy cow, living in me, always, everywhere, every day. And the third aspect of faith, entering into faith victory, is his kingdom. His kingdom. And that's what's so interesting. He left saying, I'm coming again. I'll bring my kingdom with me. In the meantime, you who love me are my kingdom. You are my kingdom. And you're advancing it all the time, everywhere. Boy, this is really something. So you look at Colossians 1, and it says in verse 12, it says, give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. Oh, that's the kingdom we're a part of. Listen, on your worst day, think a lot about the kingdom. And if you think we're losing the battle, here's what you have to do. Close your natural eyes, open up your spiritual eyes, and see his handiwork everywhere. You don't see it with natural eyes. You see it with spiritual eyes. More about that later. Okay, so in any case, two truths about faith so far. Number one is that faith is different from belief. One is knowledge and one is trust. And secondly, faith chooses to enter into Christ's victories all the time. His resurrection and his mystery living on us and his kingdom. Now the third one is faith translates everyday life into the supernatural. Faith makes everyday life supernatural. Faith makes everyday life supernatural. And there's one verse in Colossians that will blow you away. It says in chapter 4, verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now look at those three amazing words. Be prayerful, be watchful, be thankful. You take those three words, I challenge you to put Jesus Christ in the middle of each of them. Put him in the middle of each of them. So when we say, be prayerful, here's what you do. You say, I am going to put Jesus Christ in the middle of my daily devotions. The center of it. In fact, not only the center of it, but I'm going to start with Jesus Christ in the morning. I'm not going to get right to his calling. What do all women, what's the book about? Jesus calling, okay. I'm not just going to get started reading. I'm going to take, you mean men read that too? No, okay. Okay. Listen to this. I challenge you to do this. Tomorrow in the morning when you have your devotions, take 5 minutes before you do anything, before you say anything, before you open any book, to just worship Jesus. Nothing else. In fact, do it wordlessly. Let him just be present. Just celebrate his presence. It'll change your devotions. Make that the most important thing you do in devotions. But put him in the middle of all your requests, all that's on your mind devotionally, all that you celebrate. Put Jesus in the middle of your devotions. That's be prayerful. It says be watchful. Here's what it means. It means put Jesus in the middle of your spiritual warfare, your daily struggle. Put him in the middle of it all the time. Let him be the answer. Let him be the victor. Let him be the head of the armies that rise up against you. Put him in the middle of your warfare. And then thirdly, it says, be thankful. Be thankful. And by the way, if you want to do a study in the book of Colossians, look at how many times it talks about overflowing with thanksgiving. It's such a theme of each of these four brief chapters. Do you know what it means? It means put Jesus in the middle of your perpetual worship. Put him in the middle of your continual worship so that you're always in a worshiping frame of mind. And make sure then that when life falls in on you and you crash and you're on your knees, be sure that the first response to tragedy and difficulty is worship. Here's what worship is. Worship is choosing to take your eyes off of what's wrong with your circumstances and focus on what's right about Jesus Christ. What's right about him. What's right about him. Think about it all the time. Think about it all the time. Okay, so we have looked at three aspects of faith. You all have them memorized? Okay. Three truths about faith so far. Number one, faith is different than belief. And you must know that because somebody's going to ask you. Number two, faith enters into Christ's victory over and over again. And then thirdly, faith makes daily life supernatural. You'll be able to do that if by faith you choose to walk into the life of Jesus and let him be in everything. Okay, now the reason I rush through that is that I want to get to the fourth one because it's mind-boggling. Listen to this. Faith is how kingdom work gets done. Faith is how kingdom work gets done. And the verses of scripture that we're going to look at for the next few minutes, I just want you to know that looking at them hundreds of times only makes me wish I had looked at them thousands of times. And if I had looked at them thousands of times, I would say, I'm just scratching the surface of them. But I want you to open up your Bibles. Put these verses on the screen, you guys, will you? It's in chapter 3. I want you to look at verses 9 all the way through verse 14. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. Look at this. It says in verse 9, it says, do not lie to each other. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. It means more than that. It means if you understand what I'm saying, if you understand who Christ is and how he fits into your life, you don't have to be a phony anymore. You don't have to be a phony at all. You don't have to deceive yourself or anybody else. You don't have to deceive anybody. You can live what you are, who you are, with all of your warts and weaknesses and everything. Don't lie anymore. But now listen to what it says. It says, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, those practices are found in verses 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. But it says, you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Now, this is an amazing thing. You're putting on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Listen to this. You want to know who the Creator is? I'm glad you asked. Look at chapter 1 and look at verse 15. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. By him all things were created. All things were created by him and for him. And it says in the next verse, this is what's so interesting. It says, if you will, by faith, focus on what it means to be a new woman, a new man, and say, Lord, clothe me with the clothing you want this new person to learn how to wear and look good in. And here's what's so interesting. It's basically saying that in this way, you are becoming more and more like Jesus. You're becoming more and more like Jesus as you put on the clothing of a new life. Now, we're going to come back to this in a moment. But it is such an interesting thing to think of Jesus as Creator. And therefore, it's such an interesting thing to think of him. By the way, do you know Christians are not thought of as being creative or part of a creative community. They're thought of as being conservative. We're conservative. We never change. We never change. And we are so proud that we haven't changed a thing about our lives in 500 years. That's terrible. We are always interested in the creative process. And beauty is important to us. And music is important to us. And thinking is important to us. And we are finding our eyes being opened all the time. Say amen. So you are constantly changing. You are not staying the same. You are growing in grace and a knowledge of Jesus. And now, okay, so here is this idea that we are new creations. We're putting on something different. We're putting on this totality of who Jesus is. Now look at the next verse. I'm glad you asked about it. Look at, it says so interesting. It says, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. And then it talks barbarians and Scythians, that scandalous tribe, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. You can think about that verse until you die, and you will never exhaust what it might mean. What all did our Heavenly Father want us to learn from that verse? But here's what's so amazing. It says, there's no Jew or Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised. Do you know why all these words are used? These words are used by people who believe that status is everything. The Roman world believed that status was everything. It was all that mattered. And by the way, because they did, the uppity ups in Roman society thought that Christianity was a laughingstock, the funniest thing in the world, because it defied that we are defined by status. Now here's what's so interesting. These words, Jew or Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, male or female, slave or free, in the old world, define status or prejudice. You were always trying to be higher on the ladder than somebody else. But it says, the most beautiful word in this whole verse is the first word. Look how it starts. Here. Wait a minute. Where's here? There's nothing about a place in this whole passage. But it says, here there is no Jew or Greek. Where's here? I didn't hear that. Where is here? And then there's something in that realm where Christ is king. In his kingdom, there's no need for status and there's no place for prejudice. And may God's people prove that, because it doesn't come naturally. It comes by faith. And if you don't have faith, you will be as prejudiced as anybody else in this crazy world. And you'll think other people are not as good as you are. You ought to major in this verse. Okay, now that verse is so interesting. In this sphere where Christ is all and in all. But then it goes on to a therefore, and the therefore is what we really want to harp on. Look at how this little paragraph ends. It says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It says, because you are so secure in your identity, because you are so secure in being loved, so secure that you are his forever, that you can do something entirely un-Roman. You can ask the Lord to make you a kingdom builder because you dare to put on a whole different set of clothing. Now, the first set of clothing has to do with character. But the second set of clothing, every single word has to do with something else. I dare you to look for it. Let's read these verses together, or these qualities together. Therefore, as securely chosen people who are know that they're being made holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in a perfect unity. Oh, it's so amazing. Okay. Head of the class to somebody who can tell me the common denominator of each one of these seven words or phrases. Dun 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 dun. What does each of these words have in common? Well, you do that, there's a good chance to blow. Okay, since nobody volunteered, let me tell you what I think. It's an amazing common denominator. These verses all say something about how to minister to people with weaknesses. These qualities, look at them, every one of them is talking about a universe full of broken people. Every single one has weaknesses, and they don't always know what to do in this condition. I want you to know, I had an old Polish father whose mother died when he was 2 years old. And my dad didn't know a thing about the soft side of life. Very independent, but he knew two things. He knew that the world around him disappointed him all the time. It was full of broken people. But he also only saw his own brokenness. So there was no way to fix anything. And because of that, my dad, like many others, retreated socially. He just retreated in life and was a quiet person and a lonely person, a good disciplinarian, but and you didn't cross him because it wasn't a good idea. But I'll tell you what's so interesting. So if the world is full of broken people, there aren't so many choices. If you just feel that you're just a broken up guy too, you'll probably just retreat. But here's what's so interesting. Jesus says, here in the kingdom, if you will put on faith instead of wanting to run away from broken people, you'll find yourself wanting to run toward them. The ancient world knew nothing about people like this, and Christianity gradually made inroads everywhere. And this is really something. I have to tell you this. In some ways, I could be really sarcastic about this, because we Christians don't do a very good job of this. Let me tell you, a long time ago, I came to Madison. Holy cow! Almost 40 years ago, came to Madison, the pastor. Little Middleton Baptist Church, which became High Point. When it was Middleton Baptist Church, especially the first, we were really a bunch of fundamentalists. And you know what we did? We fundamentalists would have our pious prayer meetings and say, Lord, we want to see people saved. We want to see people saved. But when they come in here, make sure they have a suit on, smell good, and look right, do the right things, don't have any bad habits whatsoever. Be sure that they're rich, and then that will be okay. And it never occurred to us that if we're going to be kingdom builders, we have to put on a whole different suit of clothes besides the ones that deal with character. We have to put on a whole set of clothes that allows us to have a relationship, a winsome relationship with people who have weaknesses. By the way, is this working? I want you to know it's so wonderful. Everywhere I go this summer, we have seen churches like this where they actually like to talk to each other. They don't want to go home after church. very neat to be in a church like that, rather than some churches where everybody just empties out in 2 minutes. A lot of Catholic churches are like that. Forgive me. But it is something. So here's what's neat. Of all the qualities that make for good pastors, people who pray by faith that they may put on this set of clothing by far are the best pastors. Take a look at two of the best. Everybody agree? Hey, look up here. No looking down. Thank you. Thank you for letting Jesus put those kingdom qualities in you, because it's the reason we're all here. And they are kingdom qualities. They're not natural. They're not natural. I want to tell you that. I just want you to know that compassion is not natural. Kindness, humility. Ancient world thought that was a horrible thing. Gentleness, patience, bearing with each other. So I find myself looking at this passage and saying, if you think there's an easy way to build the kingdom, I have bad news for you. There's no easy way. It comes from humbling yourself and saying, Lord, by faith, I want to be a part of the recreative process that Jesus Christ is having in my own life. I want to be a part of that process in other people's lives. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here. Thank you for accepting this guy. By the way, I want you to know that I became a Christian through my wife when I was a teenager. Now, when I was a teenager, I had two qualities. One is that I was smart. The second one is that I was terribly insecure. Put smartness and insecurity together, and you get the most insufferable person in the world who's always teasing and being sarcastic and stuff like that. And my wife said, I can handle you. I can handle you. So she did. I want you to know that this book has become wonderful to me, because I really believe I understand more about why without faith it's impossible to please God. And I know that faith centers in Jesus. Jesus Christ is the center of everything. He is all and in all. He is the firstborn from the dead. He's the risen one. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the lover of my soul. Because of this, it is such a blessing to be able to be a pastor who says, the kingdom way is not the world's way. Don't aim at building a great church. Aim at caring for hurting people and loving them in the name of Jesus. And let them find a safe place. Let them find a safe place where they don't have to lie and fake some status symbol. Let them be who they are. All teasing aside, thank you, Jill, for being that kind of a person. Thank you, Craig, for being that kind of a person. So, Lord, on this day when we take communion together, we want a little bit of a better knowledge of your victory and what it cost you. able to really enjoy us as your blood-bought family. As we take these elements, may every heart rejoice. As we take these elements, Lord, may every heart say, Lord Jesus, creator of all things good, put on to my new redeemed life the clothing of compassion, kindness, and humility, forgiveness. Lord, help me to build a kingdom in the only way it can be built. We just take this moment to worship you. In Jesus' name.
Place.